Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast. Episode 6. 6 is, Keishi, what is 6?
That's a good question. You caught me off guard here.
I know, I caught myself off guard.
It's the natural number following 59.
I think we'll go with that. Yeah, so how are you today? Actually, I think you have some big news, right?
Yeah, I'm good. So we got married over the weekend, or last Friday, actually. Then spent a couple of days at the Tokyo Disney Resort. So stayed at Disneyland Hotel, visited Disneyland and Disney Sea over Saturday and Sunday. It was nice. Yeah, it's crazy how empty the parks are now. It's like the things you usually wait for like an hour or two. Mm-hmm. Everything's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, rarely 25 minutes. But
were there people there?
Yeah, there was quite a few people, but I guess during normal times, it's just so overcrowded that, it's insane. Like, if you've been to Disneyland before and if you go now, it's a completely different experience. I was just thinking about this in terms of, like, once the pandemic's over and hopefully things kind of go back to normal, like, the couple of things where it will not be good, at least from a selfish point of view, is one, Disneyland and similar attractions is going to have way more people than they have now, which is good for them, I guess, but not good for the actual visitors that get to go there. Same with flights. It's like the couple of flights I flew over the last year or so, especially with Japan still being close to other countries' tourists, they were all empty. And even if you fly economy class, you get a row of seats and so on. So it will be terrible going back to full flights. But again, they're just the selfish. Hopefully we get back to normal quickly.
That sounds like you had a good weekend.
Yeah, it was good. We're going to get some photos taken next week, the photo studio, the next step in getting married.
Did you get any drinks to Tokyo Disney for today's episode, of course?
No, but as you know, I still have a couple of drinks left from our trip to Shizuoka, to my wife's parents a few weeks back. I introduced the green tea cola, the wasabi ginger ale, yeah. And today I have Mount Fuji cider.
Is there a flavor?
Let me see. So I assume it's going to be like Mitsuya cider or any other cider drink here in Japan, which might be different from what Americans imagine when they hear cider, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I think so. I don't know. Like, cider seems to be somewhere within the alcohol category, at least is my impression.
Yeah. Yeah. This one tastes like, do you know the Ramune drink? I think we were talking about it.
I know of it, but I haven't.
Yeah. It tastes very similar to, tastes like Mitsuya cider.
But the bottle is actually pretty nice.
Yeah. The bottle's very nice. It's got Mount Fuji and Sakura flowers, I guess. It says Kimura drink, Mount Fuji soda pop.
You should post it up on eBay, you know, just in case there's a bottle collector out there. Because, I mean, like, I'm not going to lie, it's a really nicely designed bottle to the point where I would buy it.
Yeah, there's some nice bottles. Actually, a friend took us out for lunch the other day and we went to, I think it was the Park Hyatt in Tokyo and a restaurant in there in Shinjuku. And they had Tokyo cider, which had a very similar bottle to this, actually. They had like a retro Japanese design.
Like the Showa era?
Yeah, let me send you a photo, right? Because that's part of our job, I guess, nowadays. We should start an Instagram account with drinks.
I mean, I'm waiting on you. We have a backlog of content.
A backlog. Some that can't be bought at stores anymore.
Actually, I was always thinking of starting a... You know how there's a Humans of New York Facebook page that's super popular? There should be a Vending Machines of Japan or Tokyo, because, like, I mean, vending machines look pretty cool, and they, especially in photos, like, really artistic at night.
Yeah, I love the Humans of New York concept, and I think it can be applied to pretty much anything. You could do whatever, people in aviation, or you could do vending machines in Japan. And again, I think when you document a lot of the same thing, or seemingly same thing, I think it's interesting because the differences kind of pop out. It's like, yeah, they're all vending machines, but they're all different at the same time. So what are you drinking?
It says drink on it, by the way, so... Now, I have that to my defense. What I have is a jelly pack. You've probably seen these in stores. And the only reason I have this is because I think it's a slow season for drinks and I couldn't find anything particularly compelling inside my natural Lawson outside of coffee. And we're recording this already at 5:43 p.m. And I'm trying to sleep tonight, so I'm not going to have coffee.
Being a good boy.
Hey, man. You don't drink alcohol and I don't drink coffee past 5 because I would like to wake up tomorrow at a certain time.
Yeah, I think you're kind of in the gray area with your today's drink, but I think we'll...
It says drink on it, and it's a mineral drink, special jelly drink designed to supply 5 different minerals, iron, calcium, zinc, copper, and magnesium.
All right, you'll be Iron Man by tomorrow.
Exactly. It tastes pretty good. I love it. I can't tell what it tastes like. It tastes like grapes. Yeah, it is grape.
Nice. Is it sweet?
Yeah. This is one of these drinks that I would never consider this a drink, but this is one of these things that I buy. Like, I don't know if it does me any good, but I just buy it for the taste as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I always sit in the drugstore and in the supermarket with like $2 per piece. I think the one you have is one of the pricier ones because they also have the cheaper jellies.
There's also the Weider jellies by Joe Weider. He was the guy that brought Arnold Schwarzenegger to the United States, 60s or 70s, probably the same. So he was the guy that also had his own company of supplements, fitness products.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I recall seeing Weider stuff around my gyms. I haven't seen it, but I guess they don't sell his stuff in the convenience stores or the supermarket.
Actually, I think the one that you have is that.
Really?
Yeah, but...
because it says Morinaga on it as the label.
Yeah, but it's the in jelly. And when you search for Weider, I think Morinaga is essentially their distributor here, probably.
Oh, okay. I would rate this as a 9 out of 10. The only reason I'm not giving it the extra one for the full 10 is because, as you can see, if you take a look at the picture, it's quite small, so it runs out pretty quickly. I wish I had more jelly to last for the duration of this podcast recording, so I'm going to rely on my Perrier.
So you need to buy a box of this so you can give it a 10.
Yeah.
Did you say also Perrier?
So, yeah, but that's my backup. it's not a Japanese drink, so that's why I'm not giving it the highlight today.
Yeah, you're going for the expensive water.
You could say, I'm doing it for the show. I'm not doing it because I want to. Speaking of show, what are we talking about today? Actually, I know what we're talking about today.
Yeah, you better know. I think you came up with this one. So what is it?
The 7 craziest side hustle business ideas that made it. And crazy as in like, how crazy are they, Keishi?
Pretty crazy. And I think sometimes it's easy to think that your idea is not good. But I think when you look at these 7... And you realize that the people that made these 7 have made millions off this.
Or at least hundreds of thousands.
Or at least hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into the first one. This is an old one that I think goes back to the time where... Well, actually, no. It's definitely not as old as the internet. But it's quite down there. From 2005. It's called the Million Dollar Home. And you probably heard of this one, right?
Yeah, I heard of this one. And... I'll just give a brief overview. Essentially, this guy started a page which had 1 million pixels. So a pixel is the dot in an image, right? So your screen is divided into pixels. And like you make a 1,000 by 1,000 pixels image. That means you have 1,000 dots essentially to fill. And this guy was selling 1 pixel per $1. So with 1 million pixels, there's $1 million. And essentially, you could buy a piece on this page and you could put whatever you wanted there as an image. And I believe also point a link somewhere else, right?
Yeah, those are ads.
Yeah, exactly. So there were ads. And the entire purpose of this page was to be an ad, to be a billboard, essentially.
Well, also the guy, I think, wanted to raise money for his college tuition, which is how he started it back in 2005. It's a guy named Alex Tu from England, EW. I don't know how to, if I'm pronouncing that properly. But yeah, essentially, it's just a page with a lot of... I'm looking at it now. It looks like a mess in a way. But companies bought into this, the surprising part.
Yeah, and I think if you look at it, there's probably a lot of companies that don't exist anymore. And a lot of the graphics are, well, it's a 15-year-old site, so it is what you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it's like one of these ideas where if you're the first one to have it, it's great because he probably got a lot of press out of this. And the companies that spent, whatever, $100 to have their image here.
Yeah.
Probably got a decent amount of eyeballs on this. Now, I'm not sure about the click-through rates and about the conversion rates and so on, because it's more of a gimmick than like proper advertising, you could say. Yeah. But still, I see companies like TÜV. Do you know the German, what do you call it, like the certification company? So like a company that certifies elevators and escalators and never machinery heard. And all sort of things. It's one of the largest ones, if not the largest. They bought I don't know what this is, maybe like 30 by 30 pixels. So it's like $1,000. The rest seem pretty shady. There's a lot of casinos here, a lot of adult content.
Dates tonight.
but there,
datingsites.com.
Yeah, but there's also Yahoo, for example, which was big at the time. There's eBay. Do you see anything else that's here? I think the big ones would stand out.
Casino scams? I don't know. Doctor.d. I don't know. I've never heard of any of these sites, which probably is an example just how, with the duration of online business. This stuff is from, what, like almost 20 years ago?
Yeah, 15 years ago. But yeah, I think...
I think you're right about there's a lot of scammy stuff.
Yeah,
getlotsofcash.com.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm also not sure, like some of these images, I just realized the eBay image, for example, doesn't point to eBay. The Yahoo image doesn't point to Yahoo. The TÜV image actually points to TÜV. So I think that's the only legit one here, maybe. But yeah, again, I think this is one of the things that if you're the first one to come up with something like this, you're going to get a lot of press and you're going to make some money. Again, like if this guy's goal was to make some extra income on the side to pay for his college, then he achieved his goal, I'd say.
Yeah. But yeah, this is definitely one of these things that it only works once.
Exactly. I'm sure there were copycats afterwards doing the $10 million homepage or whatever. And that probably didn't work out.
All right. And next up is the I Am Rich app. Do you remember this app?
Yeah, you were mentioning it to me. You were mentioning that you bought it, actually.
I did not buy it. I can't afford this. Yeah. I'm not the side hustle entrepreneur here.
Yeah, I don't think they're probably not selling it anymore either, right? Based on what
I think so.
We've read.
It was this Wikipedia says it was distributed. So
yeah, fast. Yeah. So what's this app?
So basically, all it is just a. The app cost $999 or costed $999 back in 2008 or so.
Yeah.
And all it is just an icon of a red gem. And there's a mantra. If you click on it, there's a mantra in large text which says, I'm rich, I deserve it, I'm good, healthy, successful. So basically the whole point is this app was only for the people that could afford to buy it and just a way of showing off. Apparently there were 8 buyers for this app, 2 of which requested a refund. Then the application was removed from the App Store in August 2008, actually a day after its release. But for the day, I guess, however long it was up, it netted about $5,000, the app developer.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think this is one of the things, again, is it a scam or is it not a scam? I don't know. You tell me.
I mean, like, you kind of know what you're getting. So, you know, scam requires deception. This is something very overpriced, I guess, hoping that enough people or someone will take the bait and get profit. It's like, you know, I guess you could think of luxury products to a similar extent, but the thing is, at least luxury products have some quality backed up with them. I'm not quite sure how I want to approach this. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a scam, but I also, it's like a, will you knowingly stick your arm into an alligator's mouth and see what happens? That's the kind of experiment I think this was.
I think it's interesting because, again, reading the Wikipedia page for this one, it says the application is described as a work of art with no hidden function at all. Again, if you think of it as art, then I think this is no different than like somebody selling you an NFT of a picture saying, I'm rich, and like, the picture being some icon of a clog or something to show time's valuable or whatever. And it's kind of ironic because this is 12 years ago when iPhone was starting pretty much. And now we're kind of getting back into this NFT world where people are selling quote unquote art, which again, I guess the value is in the eye of the beholder, the saying is. And I don't see this being any different than somebody trying to sell you an NFT for their random JPEG or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's a good idea. And maybe this guy's in NFTs today. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, actually, yeah, this kind of sounds like one of these ideas that come around every now and then whenever there's like a new possibility to plug it into another kind of channel. Like back then it was the app. You know, apps were getting big at that time. It was App Store. Now it's blockchain and cryptocurrency and NFTs. So yeah, things like that can only be done once within the lifetime or within that channel. But they could probably come back around when technology available where you can apply it.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, actually, because that's kind of how I feel about the entire cryptocurrency space and crypto space overall with the NFTs and so on. It's like, I feel like it's full of people like this guy. It's like, oh, let's make quick buck by selling people that have the money to spend on this.
Yeah.
Some random thing that doesn't really provide much value.
I think the difference, I don't know if there's a difference, but at least with the app, you obviously know that it's not going to do anything. And all it is just a way to boast. They have this app on your phone. But with the case of cryptocurrency and NFTs, I think people are kind of positioning them to quote unquote investments or something that will grow in value.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think, I know there's some regulation being discussed in the US. And as far as I understand, it's not really good in terms of like it's too restrictive as far as I've seen some people's opinions on it. I haven't looked at it myself. But yeah, I feel like definitely it's just like the App Store was 12 years ago. The crypto space is still a wild west, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. With this app, yeah, it's one of these things that you could do once and then people wisen up to the idea, but you never know. And then technology come around and you might be able to hit people with another angle.
So let me ask you, if you had $999.99 that you had to spend on something that doesn't give you any utility, what would you spend it on?
If I had nine,
essentially, if you had the money to buy this I Am Rich app, what would you spend it on nowadays, considering that the app is not being sold?
But what if I want to buy something of utility, like a snack or a lot of snacks? Does that go against your question?
I think so. I guess I'm trying to figure out what's the equivalent of the I'm Rich app besides NFTs, perhaps, in today's world.
Maybe you're trying to ask what kind of useless thing would I buy?
Yeah, exactly.
$999. Good question. Do useless things exist? I mean, if we're going to talk about useless things, then I may as well buy an NFT.
All right. Whoever's selling NFTs, message Yuri. He's got $999.99 too.
I got 999 hypothetical dollars.
to quote unquote invest.
In your hypothetical, yeah. I think I'll save it for something with a bit more, like a lot, $999 worth of potato snacks, yeah. Cupcakes, cakes, and drinks.
I don't get it. Like, I understand status symbols, but at the same time, at least buy a piece of gold or something.
Actually, that's what I would do. I would buy jewel. You know, I'm not going to buy an NFT. NFT, what, you keep it on your computer and that's it? I think I'll buy some, sell it back.
All right.
At least I could get some of my money.
Yeah. Yeah, and with jewelry, you can always send it, sell it. But with an app that says, I am rich. There was even a typo in the app.
That's the beauty of it. That it costs so much money. There's a goddamn typo in it.
I am rich. I deserve it. I'm good, healthy, and successful was what the app said. I guess it was written there. There was a typo in the deserve. There was an E lacking there.
Next year, the guy released I Am Rich LE priced at $10. The new app has several new features, in a calculator, a help system, and a famous mantra without the spelling mistake to meet Apple's requirements that apps have definable content. Some customers are very disappointed by the new functionality, poorly rating the app due to ostensible.
I would make an app, actually, that's as useless as this, but that's more useful. Essentially, I would just make it a widescreen app. I would price it at like $999.99 and say it's like platinum, whatever, like fake platinum. I Am Rich app. And the utility being you can use it as light.
Do you remember there was that app where it simulated beer? Like you tap on the app and it's like you have beer inside your phone. You tip your phone. If you angle it, the water, the beer, not the...
Yeah.
The beer will, you know, tip along with it. So pretend you're drinking beer. I think that app has a bit more utility. And as the fart sounding app.
Yeah. I wonder if there's... Let me try to find a screenshot of it. Fine. I found the calculator app. It's got a red diamond or whatever it is. A red gem instead of the equals.
Oh, it's on the App Store, but it's $9.
Yes. So that's the second app or the second idea we talked about. What's next on the list?
Next up, we have the Ship Your Enemies Glitter. I think this is a very interesting... Do you know the story behind it?
You mean how it started or...
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. We're going to edit this part out. So the website was started by a Sydney-based Australian entrepreneur and essentially offered to send an envelope packed with glitter to someone that you like. And it caught on social media within the first 24 hours of the launch. And later that month, shipyourenemiesglitter.com website was put up for sale via Flippa. So essentially, it was like a really fun idea. And what this is called is glitter bombing. Well, yeah, so it started out as a very fun idea that surprisingly people... were open to and very receptive. And I guess the guy sold it because he couldn't handle the sales. The guy said, and I quote, "Please stop buying this horrible glitter product. I'm sick of dealing with it."
Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea. I think I also saw a company where you can send poop to somebody else.
Yeah.
As a prank. I wonder about the legality of this. Can you just send random stuff to random people?
That's a good question. I mean, spammers have been doing it all the time. But I mean... Shipping poop is also sounds like an issue within itself because you're shipping biohazard material, unless it's fake poop.
I can imagine if you send this to an enemy, like the side name suggests, that you'd get sued, at least in the US.
It started in Australia.
Oh, it started in Australia. But yeah. But you see, I think this is ridiculous, but at the same time, I don't think it's as ridiculous as, let's say, the I Am Rich app. This has some sort of utility to it, at least.
Would you want to send your enemies glitter?
That's a good question. I don't think I have...
I'm sure in your blogging career within the aviation space or your other spaces, you've stepped on a few toes or a few people stepped on your toes that you wouldn't mind sending them an envelope of glitter.
No, I wouldn't send glitter. Sell glitter. Just mind my own business. Let other people mind their own.
Yeah.
But
a friend on their birthday.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like something you could send to somebody that you know. But again, I think Yeah, I'd like to see their list of customers and the situations in which they've sold this. Because, again, aside from all the ridiculous stuff that they have on their website, they have stuff like the Heart Bomb.
Yeah.
Which seems much nicer.
There's the bag of dirt. That's kind of funny. Glittery poo pie and a lot of other unmentionable things.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting business. It's a novelty, right? It's a gimmick. There will always be people ordering this, and especially if it gets a lot of press, probably did. But it's an interesting one. But at the same time, I'm not surprised it sells. Again,
people buy stupid stuff.
Exactly.
I mean, this is like kind of a hard topic to like have a black and white answer to, because products should have some sort of utility. Then, you know, people also buy stupid stuff all the time. But maybe the said stupid products also have some form of utility as well, whether it's entertainment for the next 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sure both of us have spent money on some stuff where we didn't necessarily get much utility out of it, and we still spend the money, and it's still worth it.
Like this Perrier drink I have.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a Starbucks coffee. Or
nice fancy watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think watches and Starbucks definitely have more utility than some of the things we talked about so far. But again, some people find certain things more useful than others, and some people get more joy out of certain things than others. And honestly, there's probably people that just like to just like to be able to say, hey, I'm rich, and those people probably buy a $1,000 app that does just that and nothing else. And for them, it's probably money well spent, even though it's a ridiculous thing. Yeah, I guess that's the beauty of capitalism.
How about this next thing? I want to draw a cat for you is the next thing on our list, which actually is, in my opinion, a pretty impressive business. The guy you put in a request of the kind of cat that you want drawn, and the guy draws a cat for you. That's it.
I love that.
Featured on Shark Tank.
Yeah, I love that. I think this is the first legit business out of the ones that discussed. And by legit, I mean business that I would actually spend money on. Not a big cat fan, so I wouldn't spend on this guy necessarily. But in the past, I was thinking of finding somebody that can draw airplanes and just paying them some money to draw airplanes for me to be able to slab on the wall.
Okay.
So I think, I think spending 10, 15, 20, whatever, however much it costs, dollars to get a custom drawing of a character that you possibly like, why not? My recommendation for this guy is to start a cat NFT and to make those cats tradable.
I wonder if there's any business. Apparently, Mark Cuban invested $25,000 into the idea.
Yeah, I think he invested. I wonder what this guy needed $25,000 for, at least in terms of the business. Like, it's a cat and it's drawn. Maybe building the website or some backend stuff. But yeah, I think giving up a portion of your business, especially of a small business like this for $25,000 is a separate topic.
I'm going to have to rewatch the show and see why exactly. Well, what the rationale exactly was for him to ask for an investment.
Yeah, it's a good idea. There's always some reason. But yeah, I think even just the fact that he actually got a Shark Tank investment shows that this is not as crazy of a business as all the others, I think, on the list that we have today. This is it's essentially art. And again, I think we were talking about artists here a couple of times where it's like you have people complaining that you can't make money off art. But I think this is one good example where this guy's drawing and he turned it into a business. I don't know how much he made, but presumably a decent amount, considering that he started his company 10 years ago and he's been drawing cats for 10 years.
I mean, I still think it's one of these things that you could start up as a side hustle on the weekend. Like, it almost sounds like, you know, you sit down like, I want to draw a cat. You pop open a website, create a form where people can request or a purchase form. And it's one of these things that you can pretty much start overnight if you have any level of drawing ability. Of course, the next step is marketing, I think, which Shark Tank kind of did for him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you gave me a good idea for my pet site.
I'll draw a dog for you.
Yeah, exactly. But as you know, it's focused on a specific breed. Mm-hmm. And again, I think if somebody is looking to do something like this on a as a side hustle, what I would do, at least, pick one type of animal. Like, don't pick a cat. Pick like whatever Persian cat type there is. I know nothing about cats. Or if you want dogs, pick like the toy poodle. But that's a pretty popular. So anyways, find your niche within a niche, and just draw those dogs for people. Because I think I also saw a business where somebody was making a decent amount of money, essentially selling drawings of their dogs. So somebody would send them a pet photo. And the guy or girl would draw it, print out, put it in frame, and sell it for like overpriced.
So you're gonna give it a try?
I think once the site gets traffic, it would be a possible revenue stream to find somebody on Fiverr that can produce these drawings and just sell people drawings of their dogs.
Okay.
Because again, I think it's like if you look at the pet industry, I think it's crazy. It's crazy in Japan, but it's crazy around the world. Like, people are treating pets like their kids, essentially, spending a ton of money on everything from clothing, food, for strollers, and all sorts of stuff for their dogs and cats. Yes, yeah, so I think I want to draw a cat for you is a good legit business.
I agree. It's again something you can start over the weekend if you wanted to. Next up, we have Canadian Air. I assume this is not an airline.
No. I don't know what the company name is, but essentially these guys are from Alberta in Canada. And what they're doing, or what they were doing, is taking air, pumping it into cans, and selling those cans on as a product. So yeah, so it's a company called Vitality Air, and they sell air, 8 liters of air for like $50 or something. Yeah, 10 liters cost $45. Assume it's Canadian dollars, so a bit less in USD. But anyways, these guys... if you're running a business that sells widgets, that sells things, I think the number one thing you want to do is keep your COGS, your cost of goods sold, to a minimum. I think when you're dealing with air, I guess the cans and so on cost money, but the actual thing that you're putting inside is is pretty much free. You just run the machine and pump the air into a can. So I thought that's a pretty interesting business. And I guess when you think of countries where there's a lot of smog and so on,
yeah,
then fresh air is perhaps a valuable commodity.
Interesting. They said that they've gone on to make about $300,000 in annual sales through online purchase retail stores in South Korea, but they expect to also enter China.
Yeah, I think it's like I went to India once and I only stayed there for a couple hours, but it happened to be during the most smoggy time of the year, I believe. And yeah, it's like I never knew you could not breathe easily. But once I got out of the airport, it was hard to breathe. I never experienced it before. Hopefully, I'll never experience it again. But I can imagine how you could sell a lot of canned air in India, for example, during the smog season.
Yeah, well, I guess there is a market for selling air to people.
Yeah, and who knows? With like with air in parts of the planet becoming dirtier than in others, I think exporting clean air sounds like a good business. Not too dissimilar from essentially exporting cold weather and people perhaps gradually over the next couple of decades moving towards colder parts of the planet.
The climate. All right. Yeah.
So would you buy a can of air for $30?
I'm not in the demographic, but I guess if I was living in a place where fresh air is scarce, I would probably, and I had the money to do it, I probably would. But it's an interesting position to be in where you're looking to buy fresh air because none is available. You step outside of your house. It's a particularly fascinating concept. Well, I guess probably is a reality. Not probably, it's definitely a reality in some countries. It's probably a shocking reality for the rest of us who take it for granted, you know, where big corporations are pumping, you know, smoke to the air without getting regulated.
Yeah.
So it is a thing for them.
Yeah. And thinking of it, I think this is a great example of like taking something that you think is, that you take for granted, but that others necessarily don't take for granted, right? It's like if you look at and I think a lot of people when they start blogging or similar things, they face this exact issue. They're like, oh, I have clean air, so why would somebody buy clean air? It's like, oh, I know all this stuff, why would somebody want to read about all this stuff, right?
Yeah,
but it's like it's exactly that thing that makes the business. It's like you have something that others don't, and I think this is about as elementary of an example of that as possible.
On the other hand, though, it's a bit strange because air is something that's like, it's not, you know, it's all natural. It's there. It's weird to pay for something. It should have been there.
Says the guy that bought Perrier bottle of water for a dollar.
I'm not sure if your argument stands, but okay.
I think it's similar, right? It's like you have free air, you have water out of your sink or out of your tap, but you still buy a bottle of water that's been brought over from France.
But does that disqualify the argument?
I don't think so.
No, I think, see, the point is like, you know, technically, air is one of these things. If you know, if you're born on planet Earth, air is one of these things that's there, and that pretty much everyone has access to. Until you know, we reach the modern age and we're pumping pollution into the sky to the point where some parts of the world don't have clean air. I think now, whether I buy water or not, or carbonated water or not, I don't think it goes against that point. I don't think this is as you know, it's this kind of issue.
Yeah, so is the point then that something we used to take for granted is not granted anymore?
The point is, like, air is supposed to be all around, all available, right? I mean, like, to go to, you know, I understand, you know, the capitalism part of it. You know, if there's a need, someone will buy it. But if we started off on a level where, you know, air is available all over the world, it's clean all over the world, then in some parts it goes down in quality to the point where it's no longer properly breathable or healthy. It's a bit strange to me that we go down to a level where we're selling air rather than fixing the situation. It's like similarly to, you know, fishing out all the fish out of the ocean and then on one side of the world and then charging up a price. You know, like I guess this kind of goes past markets, you know. It's more so kind of an environmental.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
And the water comment is whataboutism. Again, it does not address, just because I bought bottled carbonated water, I'm not sure what your point is there. It does not detract from the argument.
Yeah. No, I agree with the argument, but I wonder, because it also depends on how the product is sold. Because I guess one way to sell it is to say, hey, you're living in a place that's smoggy and it doesn't have nice air, and buy our air and breathe our air. But I think the other way, and perhaps this is what they're going after, at least based on their packaging and kind of the look of their website, it almost looks like a fitness product, I guess you could say. It's like, regardless of where you live, this air is probably cleaner and nicer. So why don't you try to breathe it as almost like a health supplement, right? I don't know if you looked at their website, but they actually have a pretty nice branding, vitalityair.com.
I mean, I'm not against, you know, people selling air per se. That part is, I don't care about. It's more so just the overall general comment that some places have sunk kind of low to the point where they have to buy air. In part, for me, I don't care if selling air. In certain countries, you have, you know, really bad smog. I think they're probably better, or not bigger and more important questions should be asked instead of taking it from the approach of to buy some air.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people trying to solve the environmental issues. I think these guys just identified some opportunity in the market.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. It says not for sale in Canada, so maybe it's maybe it's illegal to sell Canadian air in Canada.
I mean, how do they get it? They step outside of their office, breathe it in.
I wonder. It's funny when you look at the FAQs. Like, my product feels very light. Are you sure there is anything in it? Yes, your product is full because we are simply bottling air which has no weight to it. Your bottle is actually full of premium goodness. Press down on your nozzle, and you will feel the premium air coming out of it.
What kind of person typically buys air? At first, it surprises that just about everybody is enjoying Vitality Air. Of course, people polluted areas love our products, but many customers want feeling of premium air. Okay, does it come with a mask? What does it taste like? Describe it as a fresh taste, missing the another particulates that cloud the experience of pure mountain.
You buy a bottle of air.
Do you need it?
I can bring it instead of drink.
You can, you know, you can rate it. They tell also us what it tastes like.
They also have strawberry air.
Flavored air. That's that's an interesting twist.
So that's like a cologne.
Except you can't spray it on yourself.
Yeah. Wow, they've got a 8-liter bottle with diamond signed by 2 Chainz. Whoever, $18,500.
No, maybe you could buy that and bring it to the show next.
I think I'll keep that for the 1,500th episode.
Okay. Right, what's next?
We have Pet Rock, your favorite one. So this is what, an American business, I guess, and they started selling rocks as pet. So they would just send you a rock, like an actual rock, and sell it to you as a pet. And according to Wikipedia, they've sold over 1 million pet rocks for $4 each. That's crazy.
What's interesting is that it came with a 32-page training manual, the care and training of your pet rock. So 32 pages of instructions on how to take care of your rock, which is kind of fascinating. They're kind of creating value out of thin air. I think maybe this was definitely probably helped in the aid of sales, because, like, I would kind of want to know what's inside that training manual, as absurd it is as it is to buy a rock. But it's also, when did it come out? In the 1970s?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's 1975. And it was actually positioned as a collectible toy, apparently. So it's like your Tamagotchi, except it doesn't have battery. But yeah, apparently one rock was $4. And so that doesn't sound too unreasonable for me. Like, I don't know. Would you buy a pet rock?
Maybe in the 70s. It sounds like it was a thing for that time. I don't know. imagine a pet rock being a thing of the 2020s.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think in principle, it's no different than a Pokemon card or any other collectible.
I mean, there's a lot of Pokemon cards and a lot of Pokemon out there, whereas you just have a gray rock.
Yeah. I don't know if you looked at the Wikipedia page, but there's a black one. There's a dotted one. There's
one with googly eyes.
They've got different sizes and shapes. Yeah. I don't know if it's good as a toy, because if a kid gets angry and throws it at somebody, probably not the best toy to throw around. but other than that, I think it's... Well, I think, first of all, it's a pretty genius marketing idea.
To be able to angle a pet rock as something that you want and need.
Exactly. It's like... It's another one of these where, like, looking at it, it's crazy, but at the same time, it's really impressive how you can take something that's out there and turn it into, well, a $4 million business industry.
Yeah. I think it's one of these things that worked at that time. Maybe some... improvement or variation of the idea will work this time, but I'm pretty sure it'll be hard to sell another rock for millions of dollars or become a millionaire off of a rock in today's day and age. But I could be proven wrong. Like with a lot of these ideas that we talk about, it almost kind of seems like it was the thing at that time that just something at that time made it work really well. But if you try to repeat it now, it won't work. Maybe it's also a thing for the times and it only works once.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if anybody tried to come up with a pet rock, he would be labeled a copycat. So that clearly wouldn't work. You could probably somehow make them make them digital. Maybe you can scan them. Maybe they're pet rocks with QR codes that you can trade with your friends or something. I'm sure there's a way to put some angle on this, which could potentially make it popular. But it would be a lot of marketing dollars for potentially no return.
Yeah, not my most favorite one. I think the draw a cat has to be the of all the stuff on the list has to be my most favorite one. The next one that we have is Icon Has Cheeseburger, which many people might not know about nowadays, but it was a meme blog about cats and cheeseburgers from 2005 or 2007.
Yeah,
and all it was just that, you know, started with a picture of a cat. It was captioned Icon Has Cheeseburger. Somehow took off. I mean, if you're kind of wondering how they made money through this, just the ad monetized, I assume ad monetized blog. Probably they sold products, I'm not quite sure. But apparently at its peak, it had like 1.5 million hits per day.
Yeah.
In May 2007, the owners ended up selling the website for $1 million. So for something that started off as like a joke and a picture of a cat, I think it's a pretty interesting this turnaround.
Yeah, I think selling a site for $2 million must have been making tens of thousands of dollars a month from cat memes. It's funny. Why is it always pets? Like there's the pet rock. There's the I can draw your cat or whatever it's called.
Well, it's mostly cats.
There's this thing. Then there's Dogecoin, his dog.
Doge is based off of a meme. I think just memes. It's weird to say memes maybe are amplifying the digital economy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the next big thing, I guess. And somehow, I guess people love pets and people love funny things when you combine the two.
Cats, man. The internet loves cats.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it's unbelievable because, again, like I understand the value of some of these things, but at the same time, thinking these things became million-dollar businesses, I think it's both testament to the marketing abilities of the guys that created it, but I think also on the other side just of how much spending power there is out there. If you know how to find it.
It's also a testament to the fact that something, like, you may not think it works, but, you know, the crazy stuff will work every now and then. So, you know, I don't hate to say this, actually, but, like, if you have a dumb idea, you should definitely try it. Because if it works, it's no longer a dumb idea in hindsight. In hindsight, it was pretty...
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Because, again, I'm sure we both had some ideas where we're like, oh, there's no way this is going to work. And just kind of skip over it. And it's fine, but also... Yeah, not every crazy idea is crazy, and you can only know if it's crazy or not after you try it. Yeah. Otherwise, it's in this weird state of, yeah, it sounds crazy, but who knows?
That's why I think, I think we've covered this concept quite a few times on this podcast, where you should put out work and you should not be your own critic, but let the audience, if you have one, sort it out. Because sometimes the stuff that you don't like is what they'll like. It's very hard, you know, to gauge taste. You have to let them decide instead.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I think there's people that focus on product and people that focus on marketing. And like, if you just focus on the product, it can feel like you're making progress or like you're making great stuff. But unless you go out there, you never know. And it goes back to what you said. It's like whatever you make, you kind of have to push it out and put it out in the world and let people know that it exists. Because unless you do that, you won't know if it's good or bad. But then if you just focus too much on the marketing part, then you end up with something like the I Am Rich app, where it's like,
or just a one-time hit.
Yeah, or the million-dollar website or million-dollar page or whatever the name is, where, sure, you sell some things, but again, without the product providing any value, just, yeah, like you said, it's a one-hit wonder, essentially.
You can't build that. You just get, like, one paid.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the products we presented today, or a lot of the services and products, are kind of towards the heavily marketing-focused things, where the product's either completely useless thing, or something close to it, but where it had really good marketing. But I also think some of them are more balanced. Like the PedRock, I think it's one you could argue about either way. I Can Draw a Cat for You is definitely providing good value, I'd say, for 10, 20, 30 bucks. But at the same time, kind of from the outside perspective, before knowing that it works, you might be like, yeah, there's no way this works. A stupid idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it comes back to what you were saying. Put things out there, but at the same time, kind of always look back and think of how you can make the product better as you go.
Yeah. I think the Ship Your Enemies Glitter is also a fun one. Simply because, like, there's no way, it's very hard to anticipate what will work and what will not work. It's shocking as to how well that took off, to the point where the creator hated it, and I think he wanted to sell it. He couldn't deal with all the sales coming in.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. Again, personally, I also like the PedRock. I think the bottled air is a pretty smart one, and I can see the value. Again, I wouldn't position it as we're selling you clean air because your air is dirty. I would position it more I would position it more in the way that Evian or Perrier is positioned in the water space. Like, sure, you have water, but this is premium water, I think.
I am curious about how they position it. On the Perrier bottle, it says water captured at the source of France. I think there has to be some kind of marketing wizardry or talent, I would say, to be able to package something as basic and available as that and sell it at a premium and actually succeed with it. Now, I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. I'm just saying that it must take a lot of talent to be able to do that.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's, yes. You have to get the packaging right. You have to get the branding right. You have to get the marketing right. Again, a lot of this, again, at the end of the day, it's water. And at the end of the day, it's air. Is Perrier better than the water that's flowing out of your faucet? Probably. But again, still water. Same with the air. And making somebody want to buy that is a very, you got to be really skilled. And I'd argue, with the air, you got to be even more skilled than with the water. Because for water, you have to go to the tap and you have to open the tap and you still pay for the water.
Yeah.
But with air, you're literally breathing it 24/7 without even thinking about it. So to be able to sell that
requires a lot of talent, a lot of marketing.
Exactly.
That being said, I didn't taste anything special.
In Perrier?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's water. I think, I know there's people, like, I read a lot of blogs about, like, business class and first class flights and so on. And usually when you fly business class or first class, you get either Perrier or what else is popular? Evian, again, that's pretty common. I think San Pellegrino is pretty popular too. And I know there's people that prefer one water over the other. Personally, to me, water is water.
It's carbonated, right? All of them are carbonated.
I think they have both carbonated and non-carbonated.
This one was carbonated.
Yeah. There's definitely people that can recognize. I guess it's like with wine and with coffee and with things like that. It's like if you're sophisticated in that area, you can probably tell the difference. Like I think tea is very similar, where you're like, oh, it's tea. But then you have like a nice and expensive tea. And you're like, oh, okay. Not all tea is the same. And of course, the more basic it gets, the more difficult it becomes to kind of think of it that way. Yeah. Water is water, air is air. But there's still probably noticeable differences, which actually makes me want to buy a bottle of air.
See if you could get it and then bring it on the show. Get some flavored air.
Flavored air is cheating. Yeah, I want the flavored air. But then again, it's like...
Grape flavored oxygen, green tea mist.
What's the difference between... Oh, I see. No, because they have air and they have oxygen. I guess oxygen is just oxygen. Air is actual air. See how much they charge for
shipping.
Yeah.
It's worth it.
You see, that's the other thing. It's like, do you really want to be shipping this air around the world?
Probably by the time it gets to you, it won't be as, you know, that's another thing I kind of wonder about. If you seal it into a container or a bottle, is there a difference between keeping it contained or having it be out in the air? Is there any difference in quality?
Well, the bottle better be airtight. If my expensive air is leaking, then, oh, wow. So it's $25 Canadian for 8 liters of Banff air, where it is his place name. and it's $24 for shipping. Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to spend $40 on a bottle of air? Doesn't sound like a good idea.
No, I'd rather go outside.
And I think our air in Tokyo is still nice enough to be able to breathe it normally. All right, so I think we covered the seven crazy businesses that we had on our list. Which one's your favorite to close this off?
Ship your enemies
glitter. Ship your enemies glitter. All right. I'll go with I want to draw a cat for you, just because it's the normalest. It's the most normal of the businesses there, I think.
All right. This has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast, episode 60. If you do want to start your own crazy business, we recommend Bluehost, where you can buy your own .com. Like, I want to draw a dog for you, or I want to ship my enemies an expired carton of milk, and so you could launch your project out into the world. So check out our show notes at sidehustlesandstuff.com/e60. Click on the link, hop over to Bluehost, and start putting out your project into the world with your own website. This has been the Side Hustles and Stuff podcast with Keishi and Yuri.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.